paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy's on the phone. And Raj, we appreciate you joining us again. How are you this morning?
I'm good, John. I'm calling you from beautiful Washington, D.C. today.
Is it beautiful there today, Congressman?
It's fine. It's spring-like weather. But obviously we have a big vote coming up today. That's what everyone's focused on.
Tell me about that.
So we're voting on what we call stimulus 3.5. And this is essentially replenishing the PPP funds that, were exhausted, within the last week. But it also, includes more money for testing as well as hospitals, which are on the front lines of battling the pandemic.
So 3.5, not 2.0, not 3 or 4.0, but rather taking what you did at 3 and just, it sounds like it's the same vehicle, you're just putting more gas in the tank.
That's right. And I think that's a good way to describe it. It's not necessarily changing a lot of the legislation, but, replenishing a lot of the funds, with the exception of one thing, which is the testing is a new vehicle, so to speak. But as you know, it's desperately needed if we're going to reopen the economy.
So have you made all the repairs that we've been talking about with you since 1.0 happened? Do you feel that all of the people that need to be eligible for the money are now eligible?
No. And that is something that, is going to require more negotiations. I'll tell you the one thing with regard to the PPP program that I really wanted to fix was that a lot of the small businesses just didn't get access to the capital. And so one of the things that we did in this as part of 3.5 is to allocate of the $320 billion that's going to be used to replenish the PPP, $60 billion of it will be set aside for credit unions and smaller institutions, which cater to those small businesses. The other thing that's being done is to add another $60 billion to the disaster loan program, which is also accessed by some of these small businesses. So hopefully that starts to get at that issue, but I still think more needs to be done, and I think that will be addressed in a further package.
I know many of you have questions and comments for the congressman. The number's 312-981-7200. One of our listeners said, John, this is an important question for small businesses. Can you ask why the 8 weeks of forgiveness period on PPP starts immediately when funds are received if some establishments cannot open and rehire until the state says so?
That's a great question, and that's, I think, either something that has to be fixed or, quite frankly, there will have to be further funds in that situation if they have to stay closed for longer than that.
That was an issue for restaurant workers, right? I mean, so they might want to apply for these funds, but they I don't even know how they – I guess if their employees are still on the payroll, they can give them the money. It's a pass-through, but nobody's working.
That's exactly right. It's one of those situations where the restaurant owners are getting the PPP funds essentially to keep their workers on the payroll as opposed to going on to unemployment insurance, right? So what would happen otherwise is they would go on to public relief. And as you know, that's not necessarily a better outcome. And certainly now, especially today after we saw another 4 million people file first-time unemployment claims, I mean, there's a huge bottleneck now for those benefits, too.
A couple questions for the congressman include Joanne's. You're on WGN. Joanne, how can we help you? You're on the air.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Congressman. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband is self-employed. He's been in business for 19 years, and his job is producing consumer trade shows for active senior citizens. So his last show was March 11th, and, of course, the next day we got the announcement from the governor that, we could not have trade shows because our trade show, it attracts at least 800 to 900 people. And being that seniors are vulnerable, that was a very high risk group. So as of March 12th, he basically has not been doing business. He cannot promote future shows. He can't even plan for them and set up dates for future shows.
He's self-employed, and, right?
Yes, he is. And I'm wondering, and he's been doing this for 19 years, and I'm wondering what are his options to collect some kind of income. He doesn't apply, or he applied for unemployment, and of course, being self-employed, he was turned down, but he is supposed to be getting a $600 a week check from the state till that will run through July. Is there anything else he can do?
So there are two vehicles for him, and I'm very sorry about what's happened with his business. We have to help him. The first is to go through unemployment. He is actually eligible as an independent contractor or sole proprietor. There, as I mentioned in a previous show with you, John, the state is now basically creating a website where someone like him can apply, and they're supposed to have that up and running by early May. And so people like your husband will be eligible to go through that system. He can also, as an alternative, file for PPP, which is what we talked about, the Paycheck Protection Program, again, as an independent contractor. And with some of these new lending institutions, such as credit unions and others involved, hopefully he can access capital through them. If he has a specific question, he can also contact me at 847-413-1959.
I want to just make a point here, though, Joanne. So you went to the Illinois Department of Employment Security, and they told you that you guys would not be eligible for unemployment benefits, even though in early May, gig workers, self-employed people are supposed to be eligible for unemployment compensation. That's the deal now. Joanne, they didn't tell you about that?
They sent us a letter. And so what it did was the letter basically stated that he wasn't eligible for unemployment benefits, but he was going to be receiving some kind of a debit card in May as a gig worker.
This doesn't sound consistent with my understanding, and I think that's why it might make sense to contact my office to just straighten things out. And tell you exactly what he should expect.
Yeah.
But he should be eligible for both the state portion of unemployment as well as the $600 that you referenced from the federal government.
I'm glad that you called, Joanne. And again, the number is 847-41. Do it again, Raj.
It's 847-413-1959.
Congressman, Steve, what happens if you have two jobs? A lot of people have two jobs and you lose one. Are you qualified for unemployment?
Great question. The way that if the person is a W-2 worker, I think the answer is yes, but I don't want to give a definitive answer because the rules kind of are a little bit weird around this. The main test is, are your hours less than what you'd otherwise work? And if you've lost a job completely as a W-2 worker, I believe that you would be eligible so long as you meet certain thresholds.
Congressman, what's your answer to this question? The federal government can issue guidelines. There was a three-point program the president talked about last week. But who should ultimately decide if a local business can go back into business? Should it be the federal government, the state government? Should a town mayor or town council be the deciders? Who should make that decision?
You know, I think I'm hoping that all three levels of government can work cooperatively on this. The local areas and the mayors and the governors should work very closely together, right? Because it doesn't make sense for a governor to have a stay-at-home order that the mayor disagrees with, or vice versa. As you saw in Georgia, the governor is starting to ask businesses to open even though many of the mayors in those towns in which the businesses are located think that they should not open.
Including the president. The president said he thinks now they're opening too early.
Right. So it doesn't make any sense for messages to go out that are not harmonized or consistent with each other.
Boy, but that does require a kind of coordination that we almost constitutionally, almost constitutionally don't have, because the states are telling the president and the White House it's our call to make, states' rights. But if everybody's doing it differently and townships feel with home rule the same way about the state that the state feels about the federal government, so everybody's jockeying for position, and it's wildly inconsistent.
That's right. You're exactly right. There's no requirement that these three levels of government work closely with each other. But in this case, I don't think we have any choice, John. I think everybody's got to coordinate with each other.
A couple of texts from our listeners. The number is 312-981-7200. John, can you clarify this? Can a small business owner collect unemployment and a PPP loan? I currently receive unemployment and just applied for payroll protection. And I think the answer is yes, right?
It's possible. Again, I think they should contact my office about their particular situation. There are certain, again, if you receive certain amounts beyond the threshold, I think that it could pose a problem.
A couple of our listeners are answering this question. Who, how, and when are we going to pay for all of this?
My goodness. This is a question that... is probably on a lot of people's minds. Obviously, it's running up the national debt, and that's a long-term problem that we have to grapple with. But right now, as you know, even some Republican leaders have said on Capitol Hill, we're dealing with a once-in-a-lifetime, hopefully once-in-a-lifetime type of situation where you know we just have to survive. We are on war footing, and we have to spend what it takes to keep our economy alive, and as we go through this medically induced coma, you know, keep all of our families alive.
Well, I'm going to call on Democrats like you to be a lot tighter with the purse then when we get out of this, Congressman.
I am a former small business person, and I think we have to make our ends meet and live within our means.
Steve Bertrand's in the newsroom.
Well, I just think all of these questions then the congressman is facing just shows how hard it is for the Congress to write a bill that addresses all of our different situations. You know, I mean, they're trying to come up with a fix, but each of us has a different sort of piece of the puzzle, and it's got to be tough to come up with a solution.
I think one of the interesting things as well is, you know, basically we are having to do everything unanimously. Because we can't meet. I mean, we basically are meeting today to vote, but otherwise we have to do everything unanimously. And you know, we're doing it at lightning speed. So if there's any silver lining here, it's that hopefully, you know, some of the trust that we're building through this process, trying to recognize each other's needs, will carry over into other decisions that we have to make, too.
Congressman, several of our listeners are annoyed that businesses that don't need stimulus checks are in fact qualifying because they're businesses, or that Harvard University got a check even though they don't. That's a complicated story. I don't think it was as bad as it first sounded, but it's not good. They're sitting on $40 billion. If they're worried about the financial well-being of their students who don't have money to go to school because of the crisis, and that was the caveat, then the money goes to the students. Well, Harvard, maybe you could take some of your $40 billion, even though it's complicated, figure it out, Harvard. Give the money to the students. Let somebody else have access to that cash. But it doesn't seem to be any accounting for who should get it. And again, think of businesses, some of them that really, or homeowners who maybe don't need mortgage relief because they're still making money, and yet they seem to be eligible. People are skipping payments. Is there any way for us to do a better accounting of these sorts of things?
There probably is, John, and absolutely there. If there's a little more time, I think that makes absolutely the most sense. I think right now, given the desperate need out there, you know, unfortunately, we sometimes have to err in favor of giving more than giving less. And I think going forward, perhaps, you know, means testing and other similar measures might make sense.
Yeah.
I think right now, quite frankly, we have to get the money out the door.
I understand that. That's,
I don't know how else to say it.
No. I mean, we've had that part of this conversation before. That's not a bad idea. If we do it, it'll take longer for people who are eligible to get the money because we're going to ask you even more questions, and it's going to be slower.
Correct.
Still. So that's the problem. Congressman, I know you're busy. We are, too. We're going to do the news here. Thank you for your time, and let's visit again, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you again.
Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. Okay. Big vote coming up a little later today on 3.5. That's 3.5, not 2.0. We're past 3 and more money going into the last version of that. Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic at the Tribune. He joins us on a lot of Wednesdays to talk about how that scene is going. It's an often fun conversation with Phil, and noteworthy these days, too. All coming up after WGN Radio News.